Now, the structure of the White Lotus Sutra from a literary point of view is rather curious, not to say odd. First of all, you get a passage, say of a few pages, in prose. Then, after the prose passage, there comes a passage in verse. And the passage in verse repeats in verse what had already been said in prose, with very few variations, though there are some variations, including some expansions and some contractions. Now, the point is that the prose passages, the alternate prose passages throughout the text, are all in pure Sanskrit, Paninian Sanskrit, whereas the verse passages, the alternate verse passages throughout the text, alternating with the prose passages, these are all in Buddhist hybrid Sanskrit. Now, some scholars maintain that the verse portion is older than the prose portion, but there's no real proof of that, and this isn't accepted by all scholars. And the whole work is divided into 27 chapters. It's a quite substantial volume, the whole sutra. 27 chapters, in some recensions of the text, into 28. Now, in the case of many Buddhist scriptures, especially Mahayana scriptures, we don't possess the original Sanskrit or Prakrit text. But in the case of the White Lotus Sutra, we are more fortunate. The original text in these two kinds of Sanskrit does survive. Copies were discovered in the last century and in this century also. In Nepal, many copies discovered there. In Central Asia, in the sands of the desert, and also in Kashmir. The Kashmir texts were discovered only a few decades ago. There are ancient translations of the White Lotus Sutra into Chinese, into Tibetan, and into other languages. And the standard Chinese translation of this text was the work of one of the greatest of all Buddhist translators and scholars, Kumarajiva, in the 5th century. This great translation was executed during the Tang Dynasty, during which Buddhism was very predominant in China, and the translation itself is considered by the Chinese as a masterpiece of classical Chinese literature. It was a very great achievement, a very great accomplishment indeed, and the work in Kumarajiva's translation exerted for hundreds of years a very great cultural influence, an influence perhaps comparable to that of the authorized version of the Bible in English. And time and again in Chinese painting, for instance, we find great artists illustrating scenes from the White Lotus Sutra, depicting them as actually described in the text of the sutra. Unfortunately, there's only one complete published English translation of this important sutra, and that is the translation made by the Dutch scholar Hinrich Kern. And this translation was published by Max Müller in 1884 as volume 21 of the Sacred Books of the East series. As it was a first translation, and as in those days, the meaning, the real meaning of a number of important Buddhist technical, doctrinal, and spiritual terms wasn't known, it isn't surprising that the translation, though very good for its time, isn't really very adequate. It's rather unimaginative. It's still in print. There are two prints of it current at the moment, but unfortunately, the translation contains some very odd footnotes indeed by the translator. The translator seems rather obsessed with the idea that the whole of Buddhism can be explained in terms of astronomy, and there are some very odd footnotes in which the translator tries to make out that nirvana, the Buddhist state of enlightenment, is equivalent quite literally to the state of physical extinction or death, and just that. And there are many other footnotes in accordance with these sort of ideas. There's another partial translation from Kumarajiva's Chinese version That's a translation made by Sutil, who was a missionary in China, and his version, though it's a partial one, is much more readable and has much more of the spirit of the original. And even though the translator was a Christian and a missionary at that, he does succeed in conveying a very great deal of the devotional fervour and spiritual mood, as it were, of the original text. But his partial translation, unfortunately, is out of print. So if you can get hold of it, it certainly is worth going through. Our celebrated Buddhist scholar and translator, Dr. Kunze, who has translated practically all the Perfection of Wisdom texts, has also translated a few chapters, unfortunately very few chapters, of the White Lotus Sutra. And I myself, for the past many years, have been trying to persuade him to complete his translation and give us the whole text. But so far he hasn't complied with these requests. I suspect it's because in the depths of Russia somewhere there's a very important but obscure manuscript, another version of the sutra, which he hasn't had the opportunity of consulting. And until he's consulted it, he's probably not going to complete his translation. So meanwhile, we are left with Kern and Sutil, unless we can, of course, read the sutra in the original Chinese, or the original Sanskrit, or the Chinese translation, or the Tibetan translation.